We just came back from Ukraine not too long ago. It was winter. This was the worst winter for the last 7 years. It was minus 25, minus 30, and the war is still going on. And when I walk into your church and I said, wow, there's electricity, and everything works here, and most importantly, to see all of you face to face, this is such a precious time. Thank you for having me. Thank you, Pastor Young, for having me too. We will never forget all the encouragement and prayers that he has always given us whenever we need them. Thank you so much. Before I start, I want to say today, I thank you for inviting me, but I'm not speaking. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to us. Amen. Who wants Jesus to speak to you? Yeah. When he speaks to us, one word from him beats a million words from us. Amen. So shall we close our eyes and invite him to speak to us? Yeah. The Holy Spirit is welcomed by hungry hearts. Yeah. We did not come to church, Lord. We did not come to church for just another service or to hear Bao Yin. We came to church because we want you, Jesus. Jesus, would you speak to us? Holy Spirit, this is your place, your home. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak to us. And most importantly, to our hearts. Open our eyes, our ears, our hearts to behold you, all that you are doing. Come, touch us. When you touch us, we will never be the same again. Holy Spirit, we are hungry for you. We want more of you. We want more of you, Holy Spirit. We love you so much, Holy Spirit. Come. Now you invite him yourself. Holy Spirit, we want more of you. We are hungry for you. Lord, we are longing for you. We are longing for you. This is your home. Your sons and daughters are gathered today because we want to hear you touch us. I pray, Lord, we never come and leave the same again. We want to catch your heart, catch your conviction. Give us that honor, Lord, to hear from you. This is the day you have made, Lord. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen. I can feel the presence of the Lord. He's here. If he's here, we're good. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, my husband and I, we are Singaporean and we are from the marketplace. My husband is an architect. We have a practice called Genesis Architects. 13 years ago, we were at the peak of our career. He was involved in building Next Shopping Center, Jurong East Mall, Changi Airport Terminal 4, many hotels, and doing so well. We serve actively in church. We love the Lord. Our life is so great. However, there was a deep sense of discontentment in our hearts, not burnt out, but constantly we felt the Lord telling us, there must be more, there must be more. After building these buildings, what's next? What's next? You know? And the Lord showed us everything is temporary. But only the kingdom is eternal. And we have such a deep longing. And I remember we were on our faces seeking the Lord. And I said, God, I'm so ordinary. I don't know a lot of things. You know, I'm not the best. But Lord, give me a chance to serve you. Give me a chance. I beg you, Lord, you know, don't pass me by. Give me a chance. I'm so longing and wanting to be used. If he doesn't want to use me, then there's nothing else in this world that we're interested anymore. And I felt the Holy Spirit, the weight of his glory upon me for a few hours. And the few hours I could not move, you know, I just felt the weight of his glory. And in my mind, visions, I felt the Lord was draining away worldly desires. You know, no longer interested in another property, an award, or the things of this world. It's not that I'm holy, you know, but he was draining away. And I saw a glimpse of what he's seeing, showing me there is so much more than just these things. His ways are higher, and he's showing me. I was just draining away. When I got up, and I said, God, don't pass me by. Give me a chance. You know, I'm not interested in the things of this world anymore. And with such a cry, I did not want to just talk about it. So we quit everything we have. We lay everything down. We bought one-way ticket to Mozambique. I'm sure you know Mozambique. Yeah, we bought one-way ticket to Mozambique to learn how to be a missionary from Mama Heidi, Iris Global. So when I was there, I'm already, you know, quite prepared, but it was so hard, I tell you. It was so hard. I remember in the middle of the night, rats would bite my feet. You know, I didn't shower for weeks. You know, when you preach the gospel, people throw stones at us. Difficult. And I was thinking sometimes, you know, what did I come here for? I want to go home, you know. But I want to share this with you. something very powerful happens when brokenness comes upon you. You know, I'm sure, I believe you might heard and know about brokenness. But today I want to share with you when we are broken on the outside. On the inside of you, your inner man and your spirit gets to pour out. And we can sing that, we can proclaim that. But true brokenness, it's really painful. It first happened when we gave away, we sold everything we have and we gave away things that we don't need anymore and we go to Africa. And then it was breaking because we're from Singapore and there's supposed to be a pathway, right? And then the next brokenness when we were in Africa, it was just so difficult. But I witnessed and I learned from the Africans, Mozambicans and Mama Heidi, how to learn from the poor and children. No wonder the Bible says the kingdom of heaven belongs to children and the poor. No wonder. You know why? They are dependent on the Lord. For us, me, architecture, have got plan A, B, C, D, E, F. Cannot fail one, you know. But they have no plan. Jesus is their only plan. I remember I was in the field, you know, farming, okay? Missions also have to do farming sometimes, right? Trying to get food. And I heard a little cat purr, you know. I was thinking, how come in this farm there's cat leh? I went to search. In the bush, there was a little girl. She's dying. She looks 5 years old to me. She's dying. She's malnourished. She's skinny. She's dehydrated. She's dying. She's wounded. I grabbed her. I quickly carried her back to the base. And then, you know, we brought her to the hospital. And she became better. When she could speak, she told us. She's actually 9 years old. But she looks five. Because, you know, she's just malnourished. And her father and mother has died. She lives with her grandmother and her two brothers. They are poor. So they sell her body for money. And she cannot take it anymore with all the abuse, right? They break her legs so she cannot run away. And with her little broken body, they continue to sell her body for sex, right? She's only nine. And when she cannot take it anymore, you know, they abandon her in the bush to die because it's not much worth. She cannot make any more money for them. And lo and behold, you know, the Lord used us, but it's His grace that restored her. And she grows up in the ministry, the ways of the Lord. She loves the Lord. And what happened is that one day I was teaching them Bible story. We must love our enemy. We must love them because if we forgive them, God will also forgive us. I was teaching little children. And after that, she says, Mama Bao Yan, can I go back to my village? I said, no. For what? Do you remember what those people did to you? Then she says, I know, but you just taught me we must forgive and love our enemy. I said, yeah. I say only. Don't listen too much. I say only. You know? You laugh, right? But I really say only. Because when she wants to forgive, I stopped her. And I remind her, remember they did this to you? They are not worth it. Then she says, no, Jesus restored my life. I also want them to receive. If you don't bring me back to the village, I'll go back by myself. I said, seriously? I will go with you. See, sometimes, you know, read and we teach. But when it comes to being tested, do we really believe or do we hinder? When I brought her back to the village, from far, everybody came out because they are the abusers. They recognize her. They said, isn't she dead? They started to come out. Isn't she dead? Many, hundreds of people were coming out. And then she was looking for her grandmother and her brothers. From far, she saw and she went up to them and they were afraid. Why? Is she bringing foreigner? Are they here to catch them? And she walked up to them and she says, you know, I'm well. I did not die. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, give me a new life. And I forgive you. I forgive you. They look ashamed and they did not receive it. They just look down and look away. You know, and I said, okay, finish already. Let's go. You're done. I'm just trying to check off the box. And, you know, because she was wobbling with her broken legs, you know. And then she said, I forgive you, my brother. I forgive you, my grandmother. You know, and suddenly I heard a crack. And I jumped because it sounds like stoning. I said, who's going to stone us now? And I looked around. And then lo and behold, her broken legs started to straighten up, you know. And she got healed. And she started jumping. Nobody prayed for her. Nobody prayed for her. She just started to... her feet started to straighten up and she started jumping. And she says, Jesus, heal me. Jesus, heal me. You know, when we do what God tells us to do, even the physical have to come into alignment with the spiritual. God will glorify himself with or without a preacher. Amen. Amen. When the villagers saw that, because they were the ones who hurt her, they were the ones who broke her legs, they also give praises to the Lord. They said, your God must be real. This little girl led all of them to the Lord. Wow. Wow. I said, God, forgive me. I almost stopped her, you know. I want to stop her because in my own understanding, it's not right. But I learned one thing, dependency on the Lord from brokenness. God used broken people, broken lives. Sometimes we want to be too strong in our own ways. Also, I learned from Africa, you know, right now. Now, you know what's happening? Mozambique, you know, Christians are being persecuted, right? Mama Heidi's base. I will tell you, you know, as close as half an hour from our base, you know, pastors are being beheaded. Children are being killed for their faith. Mothers, this really makes me sad. Mothers are forced to boil their own children and eat them. And with the remains, they play soccer. The remaining bones of their children, they're forced to kick around and play soccer. And the perpetrators will laugh, ha 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 ha. What evilness is that? What evilness is that? When I watch that, and yet their houses and their churches have been burned down, but I watch the people coming to a broken tarp, just a cloth, and they worship the Lord. You know, even though, my friends, life can be broken, you can be broken, but your worship unto the Lord and your love unto the Lord cannot be broken. You can still worship and praise Him. And out of this, I promise you, such an oil is coming out. Amen. Amen. So in 10 years in Africa, we were so blessed. We built Iris University with Mama Heidi, and we built many schools for child soldiers, child brides, blind children to come. And we are so content, and so we feel so full in our hearts, and we are glad. You know, but 4 years ago, when the Ukraine-Russian war happened, right, you remember that? The war is still happening. We felt compelled in our hearts to go. You know, we did not say, God, you don't tell God my calling is Africa. He tells you what to do and you go. Amen. I'd like to play a little video for you. This video has been for some years, but what our own little lives. My husband and I, we are so ordinary. Ordinary Singaporean, you know, not perfect in our own ways. But Lord, the Lord will use our little lives to make an impact. And it's only by His grace. He just needs us to show up. So I'll play this video for you to see.
Just to make sure that the people who are unable to leave this place are safe. The entire village is in utter destruction, as you can see from behind me. Our team is making rounds to deliver weekly food supplies, medical aid. We're also here to pray for the people and to share with them the gospel.
Right now in Ukraine, they're facing a power supply issue. So churches are without lights, heater, and electricity. What we did was we gave them generators so that churches could be powered up. There'll be light, people can come into churches to charge up their medical devices, to receive hot meals, food aid, and also to receive the gospel of salvation that gives them a peace and a future when they are wondering what is going to happen to their future and their family around them.
That God loves you, shall both live with us.
Houses have been destroyed. And right now it's winter. And so I designed emergency insulated housing for the vulnerable, for people to have a safe home.
From all Ukrainians, thank you.
Many families have lost their husbands and their fathers because of the war. We saw a large group of women who are now widows, or women with crisis pregnancies that are in need of help.
And they are desperate and they wanted to go for an abortion. We managed to speak to them and tell them we can come alongside with them to support them. And they have changed their mind about abortion. And today, when we returned, we saw the baby born here, alive and well. And they told us that the babies are now the joy and the reason for their living. We want to give children audio Bibles in the form of a toy lamb. These Bibles are in the Ukrainian language and they have worship songs and also Bibles reciting to them. We believe that it is a picture of Jesus, the Lamb of God, speaking to them, and God is able to speak to them through their darkest times right now.
I'm standing inside of a house in a village in the front line.
Please continue to support the works that we do to ensure that the people here would have a lifeline and hope for the future.
My prayer is for the Word of God to continue to penetrate into Ukraine, and as people hear about the gospel, that their hearts will turn to God.
Пусть Бог благословит вас обильно.
May God bless you.
Любим, благословляем.
We love you and bless you.
Praise the Lord. This video has been for some years. Right now, by the grace of God, we have finished 500 over houses, gifting them to widows and elderly people with disability. Also, more than 2,000 babies have been born. These babies were supposed to be aborted, you know? They have no fathers, but God is their father, and that we are given the privilege to feed them, and that they are a huge testimony that light will overcome darkness. Amen. My point, brokenness, is it really so broken? But no, something on inside of you comes out only through brokenness. And Cornerstone, I prayed about it so long, what to share with you today? And I felt that God wants me to share this with you. You know, in Ukraine, the war has been 4 years now. When I go to Ukraine, at the front lines, I see dead bodies. I'm from Singapore. I'm not in the medical field. Have you ever served and go on mission trips? You have to puke, clean yourself up, and continue to preach the gospel? I have. You know, I have. You know, I see dead bodies now, and you know, I told God, God, too late. There's nobody else left. I'm too late. But when death and darkness surrounds you, is it really true? Is there really no more hope? No, the hope of the Lord is within you. You know, and when I saw that dead bodies were around and families are waiting for them to come home, dead or alive, I said, I will serve, I will bring them back. I'll bring them back. And the doctors tells me, and the soldiers tells me, it's very dirty. It's very dirty, are you sure? I said, I will try, you know. When we do that, all our clothes and shoes, we have to throw them away because the blood, you cannot wash them away. And the smell of death is in your skin. You cannot shower them. When I drive, you know, when I drive them 26 hours back to their families, it's, in all honesty, it's very scary. It's very scary, you know, and we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And we will sing 26 hours, you know, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. When I hand the dead bodies back to their family, we cry with them. Of course. Preaching the gospel doesn't always need words. And they will always ask me, why do you do this for us? You're a foreigner. I said, Jesus called me to serve you. And then we'll get to run the funeral and the whole village will come. They will come. Every funeral, the whole village will come. And we run an evangelistic call telling them, please, tomorrow may never come. Come to Jesus. The whole village will always receive the Lord. Who would have thought? From such death, is it really over? It's not over. It's not over. From there, there's an anointing coming out. You know, when we're in the hospital, the hospitals now is not stomach ache, headache, fever, you know. I see so many people severely wounded. It was so difficult. And not everybody gets access to go, but because we have done so much, they give us access. When we do that, you know, I pray for people, and in all honesty, many people die. I felt discouraged. I said, God, maybe I shouldn't pray anymore. If not, they won't let me in anymore. I pray. Nobody survived, you know. I pray for 50, 60, 80, 90. Nobody survived. I'm discouraged. I ask, Lord, are you listening? God, are you listening? And I look at their guts and their, you know, it was so difficult. But I just kept going on and on. And one day I was given a severe trauma ward. You know, people were, you know, without limbs and they were in tubes. And I, you know, continued. And one day, this man, he was in coma for 2 weeks. And then he woke up. And then all the system was blinking and the doctors came in and they said, what did you do? What did you do? You know, they want to chase me away. They think I messed up their system. I said, please don't chase me. I never touch him. I was only praying for him. Then they said they are about to pluck him off the system because it's been 2 weeks, right? And then they said, and now he survived. He woke up. And then that man told me, just now somebody spoke to me and said, Jesus is alive. follow Jesus and call Jesus. Is it you? How can I follow Jesus? Sometimes when they are in coma and they look dead, it's not really so. Amen. And now the hospital says, please go to all our severe trauma ward. From then on, you know, I'm not, it's God who healed them. From then on, every time we lay our hands on the sick, they got well. And we have such a reputation in the Ukrainian hospital right now that these Asian people, yeah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. They said, we have a reputation. There's some yellow people, when they pray for people, they get well, better open all the hospital for them. Hallelujah. Asian people with small eyes, they call us. Praise the Lord. It's so broken and so difficult. My friends, have you been praying? It's so difficult. You don't see hope, but is it really the end? No. No, the Lord is stirring up oil within you. Do not give up. Amen. Do not give up. I was in the trenches. Some of you might have heard this, but I promise God, I will say this again and again because I almost died last year. I was in the trenches with soldiers because we were trying to share the gospel with them. And then I was tired. I was missing home. Brokenness for missionaries, okay? We miss home. We have families too. And we lay them aside and we put them down to serve the Lord. And I was missing home and I cannot have my phone with me. In military zone, you're not supposed to have your phones. Right? And nobody knows we are dead or alive, we are off grid. And suddenly I saw a drone coming my way and I said, oh my goodness, I've seen drones. These drones, military drones, double my height, double the width of my arms. And drones, when they hit a building, the building is destroyed. I know that day when it came to me, there's no way I can run away. And all I could do is call Jesus. Jesus, help me, Jesus. Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me. And I just covered my head and I told all the soldiers, call Jesus. You call upon his name, you will be saved. All of them called Jesus. Yesu, 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 Yesu. And we just, you know, we just hide. Suddenly, we saw a group of doves, birds from nowhere. Birds are sensitive. They do not like to be at the front lines. I've never seen them except for crows because crows eat dead bodies. I saw a group of doves from nowhere. It appeared, it surrounded the drone and took it down and it exploded. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When you're so broken, God will reveal himself even through birds to show you he's with you. I went on my knees and I said, God, thank you. I have one more day to serve you. And all the soldiers, they run to me. Many of their friends die from drones. They know better than me. Every day their friends die from drones. They said, who is Jesus that when we call him, he will save us? And then we share the gospel. Call upon the name of the Lord. You shall be saved. He is your only refuge. Of course, you bet. All the soldiers, words went around. They saw doves. They say the doves is Holy Spirit. You know, everyone wants Jesus. A few hours later, when I can finally get my phone, I want to tell my family. You know, I saw my pastor send me a text. Boyan, we do not know where you are, what you're doing. You don't have to reply us, but we feel urgently now. We got to pray for you. Take care of yourself. The timestamp is the same time when the drone attacked us. My friends, you may not go for missions, but interceding, praying, you're going with missionaries. Amen. Amen. And you're sharing with us during tough times. It means so much to missionaries, you know. I saw hundreds of you went out. It means so much to know that somebody's thinking of you. I was sharing in the room with Pastor Kevin. I said, it's been 4 years. Pastor Kevin, for the first 2 years, you don't hear much about us, right? Then he was like, uh-huh. I said, you know, first 2 years, we don't tell people about our work so much because we were very discouraged. Many people say, are you crazy? For what? Who do you think you are? You're not trained. Do you think I don't know? Of course I know. We are nobody. But the Lord called us. We just want to obey. And what an honor that we can serve Jesus. We say we want to give him everything and he's worthy. Of course he's worthy. Amen. Brokenness. I've shared with you brokenness from watching people die, from having no breakthrough, from, you know, being attacked by drones, you know. And sometimes people ask me, what's the most difficult thing in Ukraine for you? I'm not afraid of cold. I'm not afraid of bullets. You know, I'm most saddened and most afraid is when I cannot feed one more people. Because love looks like something. How is it that when you tell people Jesus loves you, you tell a child Jesus loves you and he's so hungry, Jesus loves you looks like a piece of bread. And we are humanitarian, you can see. We do lots of humanitarian work, but we are missionaries. Only missionaries would bring the Bibles, because the Bible is the Word of God. The Word of God will not return void. You know, by now, 2 years, we do lots of humanitarian work to earn our rights to share the gospel and to give away Bibles. Now people ask, can we have Bibles? Can we have Bibles? And we empty of ourselves. We said, of course, give them Bibles. Give them Bibles. There's worship songs, there's sermons, and there's a Bible. And, you know, we love Bibles. I was sharing that, you know, a Ukrainian soldier had my audio Bible and he died at the front lines. When a soldier dies, people will ransack and see if there's anything they could take. A Russian soldier came along the way and he took the Bible and he was listening to it. And then after that, at the back of the Bible, it says to call this pastor if you want to receive Jesus. The Russian soldier called the Ukrainian pastor and said, can you lead me to Jesus? Can you lead me to Jesus? How beautiful. A Ukrainian pastor is leading a Russian soldier to the Lord. The Word of God will not return void. Children, they cannot sleep at night. They are so traumatized. But when they hear the audio Bible, they say, it's like my father reading to me every night, even though he's no longer here. The Word of God. And we decided we'll empty ourselves, Bibles, Bibles. Everybody's begging you for Bibles. And then suddenly that day, I heard a group of children is stuck in the underground bunk. Let's go get them. When I opened the bunk and I saw so many children, so skinny, yellow, they have not come out for so long. They were tearing their textbooks, eating paper. And I said, Jesus loves you, you know? Then Jesus loves me? How does Jesus love me? And I told my pastors, can we get bread? Can we get food for them? But they told me we have no more, not enough. And I was very sad because it's such a difficult decision, but yeah, and I went back for a big cry, and after that, you know, when I said, God, how is it? It cannot be like that. It cannot be like that. It's so breaking, you know? And then suddenly I received a text from my cell group and pastor that said, we were praying, we saw a vision of you feeding children. Can you help us to feed some children? And because of their help, we were able to feed hundreds and hundreds more. See? When it's breaking, is it really over? No, we are a body. The body comes together, you are stronger. Amen. I'm not saying this to fundraise. I'm just saying this through difficult and different circumstances of breaking. It is not over. Oil is coming up. Oil is coming up. Amen. Now, it's been 13 years that we went for mission training with Heidi. And then everybody will tell you, you know, workers are few. The Bible says that workers are few. You know, 13 years ago, I went and I had such a fire within me. I came back to today, we are going. You know, and Mama Heidi was saying, let's have a school in Singapore. It's a bilingual mission training school, the same one we did. And it's in June to August this year. You know, on behalf of Mama Heidi, we invite you, if anybody would like to be trained for missions, it's not about doing things for the Lord. It's about stopping for the one. He is the one. When you stop for him, then you can stop for others. Yeah, I was sharing with Pastor Kevin. As a university undergrad, I came to Cornerstone many years and I watched Mama Heidi preach, and that seeded in me, and I went to Africa. And I said, I gladly would love to come to your church. Such an honor. Should there be somebody in the room who will catch this? And may the Lord use you and do way further and way more for his glory. He's coming back. Amen. You know, when I went to Ukraine 4 years ago, my husband and I, by personality, we just like to do a lot of work. We are not really preachers, you know. So when I first went to Ukraine, I was given so many refugees, and they quickly set up online. You know, the reach is 30,000 people. And I have not spoken to so many people before. I got really scared. So you know what I did? I called Pastor Young. Pastor Young, help me. I'm scared. Not scared, he says, not scared of bullets, you're scared of people. I said, I cannot speak, I don't know how I'm scared. He says, don't worry, I help you. So we did a recording and then we played the video. It encouraged so many people. Praise the Lord for your pastor, praise the Lord. And then slowly the war gets worse and worse. There's no internet, there is no screen, there is no electricity. I have to learn to preach the gospel for myself. So I from anyhow, and then I try. My point is that's even breaking. Some of us say, we don't know how to share, we don't know, then you accept it. But come on, guys, you are an overcomer. Don't let it break you and walk away. Come on, Come on, don't allow it to break you that something comes out of you and not just accept it. But we are thankful for people who will guide us along the way like this. Praise the Lord, right? I'm closing, Cornerstone. I had an eye injury because of a bomb blast in Ukraine. A bomb went off and, you know, I was hiding. But, you know, with glass and small little glass, you cannot see. And I thought I was well, but it went to my eye. And for a few days, I cannot see. It was darkness, very scary. And I said, Lord, I cannot see. Will I see again? It's so dark. Will I see again? Can you imagine what I was thinking and going through? So much voices in my head, so much fear. But because of those days of darkness that I cannot see, I began to see the spiritual realm. I can see God's heart. What is He doing? What does He want? I can see. It's better than when I have my eyes. I praise God that I can see now. But my friends, you have eyes that you can see. But can you really see? Can you really see the broken ones around you? Can you really see? And I was praying for you. You know, brokenness is such a pain. But Jesus' body was broken on the cross that we will be whole. Jesus broke bread that we have multiplication. Jesus told us the woman who broke the alabaster jar, she broke it. And then oil comes out for the rest of eternity is being told. And as I was praying for you, many of you have gone through brokenness as well. And today I bring you this good news that it's not over. And as we close, I give God glory for all the testimonies through all the difficult times. But today we are ending with us calling out for our Father to break out of this brokenness and to let the oil flow out of our lives. Shall we? Amen. Shall we rise? Shall we rise? Hallelujah. This is a sacred moment. I don't say this as a cliche because we are closing. So sacred because we are going to leave changed. This oil cannot be bought by money. It is paid for through Jesus' broken body. And you going through brokenness is coming out of you. Now, quietly before the Lord, if it is you, I'm telling you, God wants to give you this breakthrough. I was praying and a few people came to my mind. Some of you, you receive a bad health report. Particularly, it's also for your family members, a bad report from your home. Cancer. Somebody needs a new kidney. Somebody needs a new lungs. Somebody needs a new heart. It's so broken. But I tell you, my friends, who do we have but the Lord? But He is enough. The next group of people, as I was praying, I hear accusation. There were accusations that came against you. Maybe in your career, maybe family, they accuse you. They accuse you. You cannot even say a thing. And it's quenching and breaking your spirit. This brokenness is not for nothing. The third group of people, some of you are in financial difficulty. It's been tearing you apart. Your family, financial difficulty, maybe almost being bankrupt. The Lord cares. Cares that you are able to feed for your children. The Lord cares for you. Some of you have anxiety and fear and it's gripping your heart. You don't even have a word. You cannot breathe at night. This is also breaking. It's breaking you. Finally, the last group of people, I say to you, some of you, your family is coming apart. Children have left the Lord. Your husband and your wife have left you. It's breaking apart. All this brokenness, the Lord cares. And today I come to you with good news. Through this brokenness, an inward man is coming out. Your inner spirit is coming out. Finally, the most important, if any of you are here today, for a few weeks already maybe, or for the first time, your life is coming apart and you need a breakthrough. You do not know Jesus. And you said, I hear so much about what's happening. Can I? I said, yes. You are here. Jesus brought you here. He wants to move into your life that you will have a release, a breakthrough. It's not over. And today, as we close, this is a holy, sacred place in front, set apart, consecrated. And the Lord is asking, is it you? Is it you? You who have been broken, please come up to the front. The Lord wants to give you a release. And when there's a release, like the little girl, even the physical realm have to come into alignment. If it is you, let the Lord fill you. Come to the front. The altar is set apart. The Lord is here. He's setting a fire that would not be quenched. If it is you, come. Yes, yes. A huge breakthrough is coming. Don't spectate. You did not come here to spectate. You came here to receive from the Lord. And He's generous. He's pouring out. Hallelujah. It did not break you. You survived. You are still here. And now the next thing is coming for you. The release. The fresh anointing. The anointing is not in powerful message or great music or lights. The anointing cannot be bought with money. But it's not wasted. The things that you have going through and the things that you have gone through is not wasted. Great Lord, your sons and daughters are coming. I hear there is space for you. Don't spectate, don't waste this. True, the Lord can reach you in your seat. But there is a special one when somebody presses in and they say, I want more. Like what I did, Lord, give me a chance. Don't pass me by. Give me a chance, Lord. Don't pass me by. And look, with my little ordinary broken life that the Lord could use, what about you? Our Lord is good. This is good news. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us to preach good news. I still hear in my spirit, some of you, really, your children have gone cold and your heart is, come, let's put it before the Lord. Let Him set a fire. He's able to do things that we cannot in a million years. Come, contend for our family. Contend. Ask the Lord to release that oil like the woman with the broken jar at His feet. Yes, the Lord is ministering. Let Him receive. He's showing visions. He's showing, He's pouring out. He's generous. He doesn't shame you. Hallelujah. Just a few more moments and we'll close. This is why we came, Lord. If not you, who could release us from our brokenness? Hallelujah. Cornerstone. The Lord will release, releasing and anointing. May you carry it far and wide to nations, to the darkest place. It's not in a song. It's not in a poem. It's with your lives. Yeah. Oh, look at what the Lord is able to do through you when you yield and surrender. Good. Right now, with closed eyes and lifted up arms, surrendered hearts most importantly. Father, we are before you, broken lives, broken vessels. You know, and you care. And Lord, today, release, hallelujah, release your spirit, release your oil. When you set us free, Lord, we are free from sickness and disease. Lord, right now, Lord, I prophesy over those who need a new organ. Receive your new organ, perfect from the Lord. Your fresh heart, your kidneys. Oh yes, Lord, from heaven we want to testify. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, free us from anxiety. Anxiety, oh man, it's deception, it's voices. Silence those voices, Lord. Oh, release in us a spirit of an overcomer. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, touch and feel. Feel deeply, deeply into our lives. Oh, we need you, we need you, we need you. Drink, drink. It's raining. It's raining. It's raining in this room. I can hear raining. Drink, drink. We're not in a rush. We're not in a rush. This is home. This is home. This is home. It's safe here. It's safe here. The Lord has blessed Cornerstone. It's a safe home. Holy Spirit, this is your home. Do what you will. Do what you will. Come, pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. And for those online, receive from the Holy Spirit a freedom and a breakthrough. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Lord, we lay everything at your feet. Let your fire and your life fill us. Lord, I pray everyone at the sound of my voice and those online, when we leave, we will not be the same again. Yes, Lord, no longer the enemy will say, so shameful. No more accusation, no more brokenness. Because when we break it at your feet, we receive in exchange an anointing fresh that would not be quenched. Jesus, receive your glory. Jesus, come and take your place. Sons and daughters, your Father is good and generous. He's kind. Don't hold back. Drink, drink. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Just listen to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.